Welcome to this special edition of Lena Live, hosted by Professor Lena Miermond, and I'm producer Julian Lampert. This evening we begin a three-part series devoted to our sponsor, Calvary Hospital of New York City. Calvary Hospital was founded in 1899, making it one of America's oldest medical institutions, and it continues to flourish in the 21st century as being our nation's premier institution for palliative and hospice care. We are honored to work with Calvary Hospital, and we are grateful for their support of our programming. To see how Calvary may serve your needs, please visit Calvary online at calvaryhospital.org. That's Calvary Hospital, all one word, .org. When a patient is admitted to Calvary Hospital, the staff makes a strong point of treating the entire family unit. This was the philosophy behind the creation of the Family Care Center, which marks its 10th anniversary this month. It's directed by Debbie Feldman, and we spoke with the Family Care Center's coordinator and social worker, Stephanie Mastropaolo. We'll also hear from an extraordinary individual, Missy Pirania, whose husband was a patient at Calvary at the time that we spoke with her. During her most painful and challenging period of her life, Missy spoke to us with grace, eloquence, and extraordinary courage, and for this we are profoundly grateful. Let's now listen to Stephanie Mastropaolo as she speaks about the Family Care Center.
Can you tell us first a bit about what you do at the Family Care Center and what the Family Care Center does?
The Family Care Center was created as a place for family members and visitors and caregivers of the patients here at Calvary to come out of the room, to have an area of respite. It was created with the idea of promoting a supportive, peaceful environment for the family members, so they'd have somewhere else to come to take a little bit of time to take care of themselves. We provide a number of different programs in the Family Care Center. I am there as the social worker, so I'm there for family members and friends to talk to if they're having a difficult time or have questions about what's going on and how to cope with it. But additionally, we have support groups for family members, adult family members, as well as children's support groups. We have relaxation activities, provide a yoga class, massage therapy, manicures. We do progressive muscle relaxation, guided imagery. So it's really to treat the whole person, to help them deal with, cope with the stress of facing the death of a loved one.
What's extremely important for, especially for people who are considering Calvary Hospital, for families considering Calvary, is to have a very strong awareness of the Family Care Center so that people are highly aware that Calvary is not just about serving the patient's needs, but that it's very much, as Calvary describes, a family-centric institution. And could you talk about that, and what does it mean to be family-centric?
Absolutely. When a patient's admitted to Calvary Hospital, as we say, the whole family is admitted. We're here to treat the family as a whole. When one person is affected by cancer or another terminal illness, every single member of that family is affected. So the Family Care Center is really a focal point for the family members to come out of the room and take care of themselves, but the care of the family reaches out far much beyond the Family Care Center. We have social workers that are assigned to every single patient and family that is admitted to Calvary Hospital. We have a therapeutic recreation department that not only the patients will attend the recreation activities, but the family members are invited to come and participate with them, to have those moments and participate in those activities together, to promote the quality of life for the whole family as a unit, not just for the patient. And then, of course, there is the Family Care Center, where we're looking to really treat the family member who's coping and dealing with the anticipatory grieving process.
I just wanted to add, just listening to you saying, first of all, there are so many feelings behind of what you're saying and the way you're saying. So just having this conversation for a few minutes, I wanted to thank you for feeling and for putting your own wonderful devotion, which I sense just talking to you, to these people. What I also hear, and I don't know if it is specifically part, but it is, I see, that what you said already indicates that this is very different institution from some others, because you're really trying to merge real life, real energy, and as much as possible continuation of family life with the tragedy and grief of someone who is living life. So I just wanted to make a little bridge to your other question to say that this is already a tremendously unique situation when grief and life somehow found its own common ground.
Thank you for that, Lena. Thank you.
In fact, how taking right off from where Lena left off, obviously there's an exquisite sensitivity that is involved with working with families that know that grief is ahead. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, how did you come to Calvary? How did your paths cross with such incredibly sensitive work?
Personally, how I began?
Yes.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Okay. I started here as an intern when I was obtaining my master's degree for social work. So I interned here in my second year for my master's degree, and I fell in love with it. Many people say, really? They're surprised by that, or oftentimes workers will comment on how everyone always asks you, how could you work here? But you truly do fall in love with it. You're invited into such a special and vulnerable time for families to be part of that, and for them to trust you and to be able to help families find their strengths to continue on and move forward in this process. Mm-hmm. It's very, very emotionally rewarding. It is at times very sad work, but there's a lot of joy and love that we witness here every day, and it's an amazing, amazing experience for the workers here. At least I know for myself and many of my colleagues.
That's pretty extraordinary to hear. How would you say Calvary is different from other hospitals? What distinguishing features?
Our purpose is really so different than other hospitals. People enter other hospitals oftentimes with the idea of finding out, diagnosing a problem, fixing the problem, whatever illness or ailment that may be. In Calvary, people are entering here, many people, not all of our patients, but many people are entering here for end-of-life care. Mm-hmm. With that in mind, our purpose and our goal is for compassion, it's for comfort, it's for caring and non-abandonment, for the dignity of our patients, for however long they may have to live. That's Calvary's mission. But it's for that of the family as a whole as well, to provide that for everyone. Whereas in your regular, typical hospital, you're going in, getting treated, and being sent out. Calvary's a place for people to come to live out their lives, mm-hmm. and to be made comfortable and given a quality of life for however long that may be.
Mm-hmm. I understand that it's the 10th anniversary of the Family Care Center.
It is. Barbara, it is. The 10th anniversary. This year is the 10th anniversary of the Family Care Center. We're very excited about. I myself have not been in the Family Care Center, working in the Family Care Center itself, but have been part of the Family Care Department for a number of years now,
right.
And in the Family Care Center for the past year. So we are very proud that we have the Family Care Center and that my boss and the medical director of the facility opened up the Family Care Center to really expand how much care, respite, place for relaxation we're able to provide for our family members and the friends and caregivers of the patients here. Again, that was almost 10 years ago now, so they've been doing a lot over these 10 years, and it's continued to grow and continued to be utilized, and we're continuing to expand the program, so we're very excited about that.
Let's hear a few words from our sponsor, Calvary Hospital.
Dear Calvary Hospital, my dad was at the end of his life, suffering from pancreatic cancer. I knew there was only one place that could relieve his pain and ours as well, Calvary Hospital. His wish was to die at home, so it was Calvary Home Hospice that provided Dad with the quality of life he deserved, filled with exceptional comfort and warmth. He passed on with dignity and grace, and we were all there with him. A year later, my mom needed the same Calvary care, and once again, Calvary's expert home hospice staff was there for us. My parents gave me unqualified love their entire lives. There was no better way for me to return this love than with Calvary's care. Yours truly, Deborah DiGregorio.
This is Frank Calamari, president of Calvary Hospital. Our world-renowned hospice program brings our expert end-of-life care right into your home. Call us at 718-518-2465.
This is Lena Live, and you're listening to a special edition of a three-part series devoted to our sponsor, Calvary Hospital. Let's return to our conversation with Stephanie Mastropaolo, the coordinator and social worker for the Family Care Center of Calvary.
Working with both children and adults who obviously perceive life differently, how do you approach children within families who are imminently going to lose a loved one?
Children are amazingly open and honest about their experiences and their feelings. Sometimes I find it much more easy to open a conversation with a child about what they're going through than an adult. They can be very blunt. And the difficulty in communicating with children is often perhaps at times their fear of making someone else sad. They didn't want to open up to mommy or daddy because it would make them cry. And they thought that they, the child, were making that person cry. So they're looking not to hurt others. Oftentimes in explaining to them, letting them know that it's okay to talk about things, that even if mommy or daddy or grandma or grandpa are crying, it's because the situation is sad, not because of what they did. Letting them know that it's okay to cry, that it's okay to be angry, that whatever feeling they express is going to be accepted. And once they know that there's acceptance, children just tend to pop right open and let you in, let you know the truth about what's been going on. So often, to answer your question, it's often easier to start out a conversation with a child.
But it is so much more difficult for schools and in a classroom. I wanted to make sure that you're aware how much you're helping to those children who have to face the world and face the school. And again, it's more of a statement than a question. It is your gift and intuition which helps you to feel that you can have such easier path or road to their soul, but it's so much more difficult in schools. So the fact that Calvary has this philosophy and actually practical application makes tremendous contribution into the school system. So I just wanted to make sure that this link does exist.
Yes, and we'll, of course, we will talk with the parents or the grandparents or guardians of the children and recommend, of course, that they let the school know what is going on, because the child doesn't only need support here or just at home, but a child does need support in school as well.
Yeah.
It permeates their entire life, their entire existence, much like such a tragedy or impending trauma would affect ours.
Mm-hmm.
So it absolutely, Lena, you should let the people at school know as well, so that that support can be given.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I will never stop emphasizing the role of Calvary, who does make this connection so well pronounced, so real.
Thank you.
How did the Family Care Center come about? What prompted the creation of the Family Care Center?
Dr. Michael Brescia, the medical director of the facility, along with Debbie Feldman, who is the administrator for the social work department, and other administrators at that time, were very interested in providing more care for the families. Calvary as a whole has always reached out to provide care for the families, but we really wanted to give people and recognized a need for family members and friends to have a space to come out of the room. Our minds and our bodies were not meant to stay in a traumatic or difficult situation 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
We need a break. We need a chance to process what we're going through. We need a chance to take care of ourselves so that we can be there for our sick and ailing relative, so that we can continue to push forward and do so. The administrators recognized a need to have an area of respite, and they pushed forward to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then since it started, really, as a room, we had coffee, we had tea, and over the years we have developed programming to provide families with continued and ongoing care throughout the patient's hospitalization. When a patient is admitted to the hospital, our social work staff informs them upon doing their assessment. They inform family members that there is a family care center and encourage them to utilize it. I, too, will go up and meet all of the new admissions, the patients that are coming in, and provide them with a calendar of our events to try to get the news out there and let people know that there is this facility. All they have to do is come down. There's no process. They just come down. Our doors are open from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. And we even have volunteers who offer their time during the weekend as well to open up the Family Care Center and provide that space for the family members over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So really, it's just a matter of coming down. There are certain programs, manicures and massage, that you do sign up for, or we recommend signing up for in advance, because those appointments do get utilized and they go fast. But primarily it's just a matter of coming down. All of our support groups are open to any family member or visitor at all to come and join us. So there's no need for advance notice. I do recommend advance notice, although it's not necessary, when you're bringing a child in for a child support group. That helps me understand what's going on in the situation as a whole for the patient and family.
We are honored to have Calvary Hospital of New York City as our sponsor. Calvary, it's where life continues.
So far, on a different note, but Calvary became very important to us because our work now connected to it. But I will interject a little bit in my own experience. My father was the Calvary, and I'm very grateful to my son, who really was my family center. because he took that invisible but huge emotional load, and he was the one who oriented him here, and that was our first acquaintance experience with Calvary. So I can relate on a very deep note to what you're saying, and again we'll say to the listeners that there is a place to be when you need it, which if I can step into your shoes, will bring one question, which I found very, very important question. If you know someone who is grieving and alone, what another person or what people should do for this person?
Particularly if that person is resistant to receiving help.
To receiving care.
Or afraid to ask.
Yeah.
Okay, well, two different notes. After a person has died or before specifically? Because during the process, good clarification.
Right. We will let you answer both.
Okay, all right. During a patient's stay at Calvary Hospital, there are, as I said before, a social worker would be assigned to them. So if you're a family member or friend and you've noticed that they're having a difficult time, reaching out to their social worker and letting them know that they haven't necessarily been open to supports, but you're concerned about them, mm-hmm. can give us a heads up here so that we can make extra connections and reach out more frequently, extending the psychosocial and the emotional supports that this person may or may not accept. Mm-hmm. But it gives us the opportunity to recognize that there may be a problem or a concern, and we can reach out more proactively than maybe we've done. Okay. After a person has died, Calvary Hospital has a bereavement department, and the director of the bereavement department, Sherry Schachter, is a PhD who's been working with grief and bereavement for many, many years, 25, 22, somewhere around that. She's mm-hmm. been over 20 years, I know, of experience. I know the bereavement department provides a number of support groups. Those support groups, I think you may speak to her as well, so yeah. I won't go into it too much, but they're specialized in that they are divided by who you lost in your family. So it might be a group for spouses, or a group for adult children who've lost a parent, or a group for children and certain age groups. So they're divided differently in that way, which I think also makes our support groups here for bereavement very unique.
Yeah.
So connecting people, or at least letting them know if they're having a difficult time, that this is available, whether you get them onto our website and show them the different things that are available, or you come and pick up or have us mail you a brochure about what we have. Additionally, reaching out and asking for us to make contact. If that person had a family member die here at Calvary and you know that they need support, reaching out to their social worker that they worked with here, that social worker may be able to initiate some kind of support, or at least reach out to mm-hmm. them to try to do so. So there's many things you can do. A lot of times it may be that they just want you to listen as their friend, as their family member, to listen and hear, not necessarily to try to fix, because we can't fix. We can't make a person's loss go away, you know, but to listen and show them the compassion that they need.
Soul has this hidden ear.
Yes, it certainly does. It's a beautiful way of expressing it. I wish I had said that.
Well, you said many beautiful things.
Yeah.
Again, I wanted to make a comment judging by your answers.
Okay.
I can see that there is an interconnection between, so to speak, departments.
Oh, yes.
Because the question which I asked you, actually, I combined with a bereavement support philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And be honest with you, I didn't realize that.
Mm.
Because in my mind, it's all so connected.
Yes.
What you're doing. And normally, in any institution, whether educational or medical, especially in our time where regulations are so prevailing, there is a challenge and there is a disconnection. But judging by your answers and the way you comprehend, I can see that there is an interconnection. Just like a human life.
Absolutely.
You don't disconnect heart from kidneys, they depend from each other.
Absolutely.
So I again wanted to thank you and commend you for the fact that the uniqueness of the Calvary, that all these elements, all these veins connected and interconnected.
Thank you. Thank you for noticing. Yes, the departments do work as a team. It's an interdisciplinary team. And while that's said at many facilities, I think Calvary really embodies that philosophy. We work very hard to communicate openly with each other, to let each other know what's going on within the family, so that each department can provide whatever service, whatever piece of that service they can to help the family as a whole through the experience. But that does include many people. None of us can work alone and assist the family with every problem. So we do work as a group, as an interdisciplinary team, and communicate with each other often. Additionally, they'll have family meetings with patients as well, where it's not just the family meeting with the doctor or just the social worker or just the nurse, but all of the departments coming together to really make that plan of care as a whole.
I have one last question, which this is going back to some extent to a Russian tradition of dialogue, where the last questions are deceptively divergent from the topic at hand, but in fact very profoundly related to what we're discussing.
I feel like I'm walking in a trap.
I'm already saved. Don't worry. I'm there already.
Okay. What's the question, Jillian?
The question is this: what event in either your childhood or your formative years influenced either directly or indirectly what you do today?
Oh, that was sneaky. I became interested in cancer at a very young age, with family members of my own having had cancer, and then with a good friend of mine whose mother died of cancer when we were in high school. I was very close with her, and the support I received from, actually going back to you, Lena, from school, people in school, as well as from family, and then the lack of supports that I saw for my friend and what he was going through, it began my interest in this particular work. Prior to that, I had always been interested in psychology.
Yeah.
But in this particular work, it began in early, mid-high school, when with my good friend losing his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think, you know, I think it's important that people understand that the people that work at Calvary The majority of people that come here and work for years on end. We don't have a high turnover rate of employees. The people who come here and make it past a certain time period, you know, that initial, the initial period of time where they're either getting used to it or decide it's not for me. Those who stay really do stay at Calvary for years on end. And I believe that the people I work with, and part of the reason I work here is because I'm so fond of the people I work with, because they are such a group of caring and compassionate people where it's not just a job. You know, people will ask you, I guess you get used to this. You hear this all the time. It's all old news to you when you're talking to family members. And if that's how it is for a person working here, then they're no longer working here. It really, you care. You truly care for these families. And it does affect you. And their stories all affect you differently. And it is a very human instinct, I think, that
yes.
that runs yes. throughout the people that work here to provide that compassion.
Yeah.
It's a very different environment.
Yeah.
So,
that's we nice. Spoke with Stephanie Mastropaolo, the coordinator and social worker for the Family Care Center, who is, I would say, as sensitive as the work which she's involved with.
And for a very pretty young woman to have such maturity, in addition to absolute profound competence, it's very rare. So I wanted to thank you again for being part of the most critical moment in everybody's human life. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you for coming and learning about Calvary and sharing that with all of your listeners. We do appreciate it.
Just heard Stephanie Mastropaolo, the coordinator and social worker of Calvary Hospital's Family Care Center. Let us return now and listen to an extraordinary lady, Missy Perinia, share pieces of her extraordinary story with us while her husband was a patient at Calvary Hospital.
You know what? This is actually, I lost a brother, I lost my parents, I've lost loved ones. This is the hardest thing, the most difficult time of my life ever. And Calvary is just playing an integral role in making it easier on me and easier on my husband. I'm thankful every day that he's here, and because I don't think there's anywhere else that could handle this type of the critically ill end-of-life patient. I just don't think there's any other facility. There's no question to me.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Missy Cohen Perinia, whose husband is a patient here at Calvary Hospital in New York City. Missy, thank you so much for joining us. We're actually honored that you are joining us to share your story, and very honored with the openness that you're demonstrating, not just to us, but really to the world, so that even if just one person benefits from your story and your husband's story, that is enough.
Thank you for allowing me to share my story. I live in Westchester County in the town called Rye, New York.
Oh.
I'm only 20 minutes from here, so it's a nice, easy drive for me. And basically, my husband is end-stage liver cancer, and I've taken leave off from work so I can come here every day and spend his last days with him.
Mm-hmm.
I work for a major company that I've been working for 15 years, and they've been I'm very fortunate that I'm given the time off to be able to handle my husband's needs.
Mm-hmm. When did he become ill?
He's been sick for a very long time. He has primary liver cancer,
mm-hmm.
and he was diagnosed in 2008. He had a liver transplant in 2009, and then the liver cancer came back in 2012. And so it was basically just a matter of time for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he's been here 3.5 months. The cancer's basically spread. And it's a really horrible waiting game.
Yeah, yeah.
He has very specific comorbidities that I know a lot of other facilities could not have handled. And when he came here and we were given Dr. Zaretsky, he was able to handle my husband's issues. And he understood what the needs were of the post-transplant oncology patient. And so as a palliative care patient, you know, it's just a matter of keeping him comfortable and keeping his medication right. And as my husband's needs have changed, Dr. Zaretsky has been there every step of the way to take care of him and keep him comfortable. And let's face it, it's end of life. I want him to die with dignity and respect. And as far as I'm concerned, this is the only facility in the area that could handle my husband.
Hmm. How did you come to decide on Calvary Hospital?
Well, my mother-in-law was here a number of years ago. And so I had never stepped foot inside of the hospital until she was here. And then I would come with my husband after work, and I would bring a book. It was interesting back then. I was reading Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. I don't know if you're familiar with the book. But
I've heard of it.
It's a fantastic book. And I happened to be reading it at the time. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to bring the book and read it out loud in the room, and the three of us can enjoy it. And she basically just slept through it. And then in retrospect, I thought to myself, this might not have been the best book to read to a patient who's sleeping, because I thought she could be dreaming about voodoo, and because it's just, it's almost an absurd book. Although it's based on a true story, but it's a fantastic novel. And I said, well, you know, she could be thinking of it as a fantasy world, as opposed to, what is Missy doing reading this odd book to me? But it was comforting, and I know it was comforting to my husband that we would sit there and just read out loud. And that was my first experience at the hospital. And I would literally just come a few nights a week and sit.
Hmm. How has the Family Care Center at Calvary helped you?
The Family Care Center has been a deeply integral part of my journey. Everything they do there, I'm involved in as much as I could possibly be involved in. I've been a caregiver for a very long time.
Hmm.
And as caregivers, we tend to ignore ourselves. And so I know that when I came here and met Stephanie down at the Family Care Center, she's been a godsend to me. She's been a friend. She's almost been like a sister to me, where I can't thank her enough for taking care of me with my needs with a Family Care Center. I go for manicures with Michelle, and I could be in my husband's room, crying hysterically. And if I have an appointment to have a manicure, I know I can go to get a manicure, and she always gives me the chuckles and giggles, and I always joke around with her about that, because I could be hysterical 1 minute, and 5 minutes later, I'm sitting there getting a manicure, and I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just this little fantasy world of mine, because let's face it, coming here is not like real, it's sort of not like real life. Real life is the dredges of every day, and you have to pay your mortgage, and you have to do this, and you have to do that. I go for massages every week with Bobby. He's just awesome. I leave there, and I always joke around that I'm walking on bubbles when I leave. It's just, I'm forcing myself to take care of myself. The music therapy is fantastic. I love the music therapy here. So mm-hmm. I love when Caitlin comes to the room and plays her guitar, or I've done music therapy one-on-one with her. And I've gotten into a very zen moment with her, with the music therapy. I really enjoy that a lot. And the social workers have been fantastic. I try to go to the group when I can. If I have the opportunity to, I try to as much as I can. It's really nice to talk to other people that are in the same situation. Even though it's not exactly the same situation, we're really 99% of the people here that I'm meeting in the Family Care Center are really in the same situation. And one of the most important things of the Family Care Center for me is that if I'm having a good day or a bad day, like I can walk off the street and be very happy and sit down with Stephanie and have a cup of coffee and be happy. I can walk upstairs and I can do something as ridiculous as watch The Price is Right in my husband's room and get hysterical and start crying. I can come downstairs and she will just give me a hug and give me a kiss and make it all better. Mm-hmm. The Family Care Center has just been such a huge role in my journey. I have to tell you a little funny story about the Family Care Center, because they had a fish that was dying and I knew the fish was not well. And so when I would come in and I had my ID tag on, one day I asked the security guard for a little sticky paper and I put room 147B Bluefish number 2 on it. I said, because I cared so much about the facility and the Family Care Center and how much they do for me, that I had to go visit Bluefish number 2 to see how he was doing every single day, and I would visit my husband.
Incredible.
Speaking about attachments with life.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's take a short break and hear from our sponsor, Calvary Hospital.
Dear Calvary Hospital, James Lee was a true hero. Saving lives was something he always wanted to do, whether as a paratrooper for the 82nd Airborne or as a New York City fireman. They called him Jimmy. I was proud to call him Dad. But when terminal illness ravaged his body, this man's man knew that this was one life that could not be saved. Not even by me, an experienced nurse. It just wasn't fair that he had to suffer like this. But then Calvary stepped in. You relieved his enormous pain and not only gave him the peace and comfort he deserved, but you also gave me and my family a chance to enjoy his final days, smiling and laughing, together one last time. How can we ever forget what you mean to us? Yours truly, Colleen Lee.
This is Frank Calamari, president of Calvary Hospital, where life continues. Call us at 718-518-2000. Thank you.
You're listening to a special edition of Lena Live in a three-part series devoted to our sponsor, Calvary Hospital.
Are you of a religious faith?
Yes, actually, it's interesting. My husband is Roman Catholic and I'm Jewish. Oh. So coming into the hospital here, you know, there's a cross on all the walls, and I really appreciate, first of all, the pastoral care here is fantastic. And they understand both of our needs. And the hospital understands both of our needs. You know, there's services for everybody here. There's a real sense of comfort with the pastoral care. And, you know, it crosses over to really all religions. I don't find that, even though there's a cross on the wall, I don't find that, I don't feel any sense of uncomfort for myself. My husband takes communion in the room. You know, one of the sisters would come in and ask me if I wanted communion, say, no, thank you, I'm Jewish, but thank you anyway. I do find that the pastoral care here is fantastic, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was one night, it was probably Saturday night at 10 o'clock, and my husband, he had just gotten here, and he really wanted a priest really badly. I didn't know what was going on. Mm. He said to me, I'm going to die tonight. And so he said, I need a priest right now, and I think it's anointment of the sick. I forget what, I think that's what it's called. He said, I need that right now. And so they just got a priest. It was just that simple. They just got a priest to come in, and he didn't die that night, but he felt better. And that's where I feel, you know, that type of a care, it's really important here.
It's just as powerful as medicine.
Oh, yes.
If in some circumstances, if not even more so. It's remarkable.
Yeah.
What would you... For a family member, even though you've essentially answered this question mm-hmm. indirectly, but in a more direct sense, what would you say to a to a family who was considering but extremely nervous
Number
to admit
one,
to?
Take a tour. See the facility.
Mm-hmm.
Take a look at the website. But take a tour. People are not familiar with the facility. They're really not familiar. Well, first of all, they're not familiar. It's actually a hospital. You know, I mean, I grew up in the Westchester County area. I knew of Calvary, but I never walked in the door until my mother-in-law was here. So I didn't really know. I didn't really know the basics of what the facility does for the patients and for the family. And I found out that it's just as important for the family members as it is for the patient. Take a tour and see what it's like. It's so clean. The staff is so caring and so warm and so friendly. I always joke around that I get the hugs and he gets the drugs because they're so caring. They really are so caring, and it's so true.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we found a home here. It's become a home away from home for me. I mean, this is my husband's last home, and it's become a home away from home for me. Whether I want it to be or not, it is.
Yes.
And it's a very comfortable and warm and inviting home.
Many institutions will want to hear that. But only few can achieve. And Calvary not only did achieve that, but also gives tremendous hope to other people who might not be faced with a tragedy, but who can have an open eyes and mind about the world which exists here. That if, God forbid, something happens, there is place to share your tragedy. And I would go as far as saying very few places in the world who can offer such stretch.
I don't know of one facility in the area that could offer me what I'm getting here. Honestly, I don't know one. I wake up every day and thank God that my husband is here and that I have the services provided to me and the services provided to him, because it's making my life and his life much easier at the end of his life.
When the life is hardest.
When life is hardest.
Could you tell us a little bit about your husband, his name, and what kind of connections you have? Anything which pleases you?
Peter and I have been together for 33 years.
Mm.
And he was a dog groomer by trade. And he had his own business, and he worked out of the house. And I always thought, when I met him, I always thought somebody who loved animals like that had a good soul. And we don't have any pets at home now. One thing about the hospital is that they have the pet therapy where you can bring in your pet, and I wish more people would take advantage of that, because people have pets at home that they could be bringing in for their patient, for the, you know, for their loved ones. And so we've been he's been my best friend for 33 years. And it's very difficult to watch him go through this. It's torturous on me to watch him go through this right now. But he's been my best friend for 33 years, and I miss him now, and I'll miss him forever.
Thank you profoundly.
Thank you for having me.
We listen to Missy Perinia share her story about life, about death, and ultimately about love. And we are profoundly grateful to Missy for sharing her extraordinary story with us. This concludes part one of our special edition devoted to our sponsor, Calvary Hospital. Please join us next Thursday as we continue with part two of our special edition devoted to Calvary, as we speak with the hospital's executive medical director, Dr. Michael Brescia, and the director of the bereavement center, Dr. Sherry Schachter. And of course, you can find us on the web at miremondarts.org. That's miremondarts, all one word, .org. Thanks again for joining us. Until next Thursday, I'm Julian Lampert.